We're glad that you're here tonight. We appreciate your time, and I hope that when the evening is done here, that you will have been touched and challenged and energized for the mission that we have, as a church, have been called to. So let's begin just with a word of prayer. Father, how thankful we are for your love and grace as always. And Lord, as we have gathered here tonight to think, to pray, to contemplate, to be encouraged as well as challenged, Lord, I pray that you would work on our hearts during this time. May we look to you for your strength. May we look to you for your blessing and for your direction and guidance in our lives individually as well as in the life of this church. So, Father, I pray that you would just be among us, work within us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. As we were talking about doing this, it seemed to me that perhaps a good idea would be to provide some context for the whole big picture, which means that we need to go back a ways. I want to give you a brief history. I'm not going to take a long time, but I want to give a brief history. So to some of you, will be like, yeah, I know that, but it'll be a reminder of some things. Others haven't been here long enough to have the history, and so hopefully you'll hear some things that are new to you, but help you understand where we have come from and where we are. Understand that all the good things that we can talk about are the result of God's blessing and our obedience to him in that. I came here in 1994 to be the preacher, and in the old building down on South Street, and some of you know what I'm talking about, and some of you have no clue where that is, but that's okay. But I'd been here about a year, year and a half, and we decided to have a leadership retreat down at our church camp, which at that time was down south of here. And so almost all, not everyone, but almost all of our elders and deacons gathered together for a Friday evening and Saturday. We spent the night down there at the camp, and we simply asked one question and then spent Friday night and Saturday morning answering that question. And the question simply was, what is keeping us or hindering us from growing? And we started making a list. We filled a whiteboard with pretty small print and a good-sized whiteboard with things that that we thought of in the process. And in large part, probably 80% of the things on that board ended up being related to the building that we had on South Street. It was small, it was old. It limited what we could accomplish and what we could do there. And so as we looked at all of that, the decision was made, not finalized that night, but the process was started that night, that we need to think about building a new facility. We're doing something, either adding on to this one or building a new one. And that building had been added on to how many times, Joe? Maybe three, four? Yeah. And it was on two city lots, so there wasn't a whole lot of room for expansion there anyway. We could take out the parking lot, but then there'd be no place for anybody to park because you can't park on the street there. And so the decision eventually was made to let's build a new building. And we began the process of thinking that through, and we had come up with a plan that in 5 years from that time, we would have a new facility. And so with that, we came back to the congregation and began talking and getting people's ideas and thoughts and just kind of building the idea up, not knowing if it was really going to take off, if it's something, because a lot of people were very tied emotionally to that building. It was old and not in great repair and had a lot of limitations, but it was still the Macomb Church of Christ. And But over the course of some time, people came to understand that there was a need for something else. We had a vote. Actually, we had two votes. The first vote didn't quite make it. Leadership said we're going to require 80% positive to make a move. We're not going to do this on a simple majority vote. We happen to know that the whole church is pretty much behind us on this. And the first one came up just a little bit shy. And so we rearranged some things. We were talking about doing the whole thing at once. We decided to just do the sanctuary down to the kitchen, this wing, and prayed some more about that. A lot of prayer went into it over the course of that time. And that was decided to do that, voted on positively in excess of 80%. Along the way, we kind of forgot about the timeline. I did. I had put it on my piece of paper, and I put it in a file folder, and I put it in my file cabinet, and I forgot it was there. I didn't even think about it. But things progressed anyway. And we got to the point where we were ready to break ground. And I started pulling things out of my file, just looking. I thought, huh. Because you know how long ago it had been? It had been 4 years. It's going to take a year to build this place. In 5 years, we were in this building. Even though that had not been a conscious effort in many ways along the way. But I remember the groundbreaking day very clearly. And that's the main point I want to focus on for a moment. Groundbreaking day was really neat. We came out to this empty, we'd purchased this, obviously. We came out to this empty field. And someone had come up with an old plow, a one-bottom plow, and had a rope on the front of it. And somebody said, "Rick, get behind there and start plowing this." And I got behind there, and I didn't get anywhere. So I said, "Elders, come join us." And the elders came over, and they grabbed a hold of the rope, and they started pulling, and I was pushing, and it was hard and slow, but we were moving some ground at least. But then we stopped that, and everybody else that was present, we said, "Come here, grab a hold of this rope. Now let's pull." And when everybody did that, I think we could have plowed the whole field that day. When everybody started working together in one direction. There was one rope, only one direction we could pull, and everybody was putting their effort into it, and it wasn't too much effort for anybody. But the job could be done. And there is a lot of truth in that principle. And that's the encouragement that I want to give us tonight. We have come, well, the building was obviously constructed. Our people did a whole lot of work on this. I mean, it was amazing how much work our people did to erect this facility. Now, we hired some things out, but there were guys on ladders, and it was crazy. But they did it. We did it. When we were running about 140 in the old building, which comfortably sat about 120. We were setting up chairs every Sunday toward the end time. But people were excited because something was happening. We were moving together. We were accomplishing things. And the first Sunday in this building, when I came up to the front and turned around and looked, I thought, "Where am I and who are these people?" Because we had 225 the first Sunday. A lot of visitors, many of whom became members in a short period of time. And we didn't look back from there. We grew and we grew and we grew up to, we were over 300 for a while. And it was an exciting time, and we still think back to that time, don't we? And there was joy. I remember the day of the groundbreaking when we started pulling that plow together, and it was so obvious. I mean, I remember the joy and the laughter and the applause and the experience of that day. And that was still present in the church to a point. And I'm not here to try to point blame because I don't know what the blame is. My goal is to help us see that from that point, we didn't maintain it. Now, after a few years, well, it was about 7 years, I guess, after we completed that, Ann and I felt called to the church up in Weston, and And we moved, and with the prayer and hope that the church was going to just keep going in that direction. But it didn't. It didn't. Over the course of years, several years, it began declining. And you see where we are today. And there are a number of factors, I'm sure, that have affected that over the course of time. But the question is, so now what? Because if we keep going the way we've been going, it's not a bright future. But the same principles that got us to the peak that we reached are still valid principles, because what we did was we spent a lot of time in prayer, we searched God's will, we believed we were doing it for His purpose and His goal, and we worked together to accomplish it. Now, those things are still true. Those principles have not changed. It required faith. We didn't know how we were going to pay for this thing. We didn't have a big capital funds giving campaign. We just told the people, it's going to cost us some money, and this is about what we think it's going to cost us. We need your help. And you know what? We never missed a payment, did we? In fact, we were able to give more each year on the principle than we would have guessed. Not everybody was excited or thrilled about that, but I can only think of one couple that just stopped coming because of it. There may have been some that I don't remember, but I think I remember one couple who were so angry because we destroyed their church. That's a funny definition of destroy to me. But we were in the principle. I was invited back at the mortgage burning service. Rob was the preacher here then. He called me and said, Rick, would you come and speak for a little bit on that? And I did, and I shared some of the history again and tried to encourage. But the church had already was down a fair number by that point. But it was exciting to be able to say, look what we accomplished. This church, it was $1.5 million. We paid it off in what? Was it 15 years? Right around there, I think. It's amazing. Because God provides. When He says, this is what I want you to do, and we understand that, and we actually put our confidence in Him and start moving forward and just trust Him, God doesn't leave you stranded. It was because of Him that all of those things took place in that very positive way. I remember saying the day that I was here for the mortgage burning, at the end of my comments, I said, you know, we had a goal and we reached it, and that was fantastic. And as I look around, I think it's time for another goal. And I would say the same thing tonight. It's time for another goal. Now, we don't need another building. This one is fine. It may need a little touch up here and there. I mean, wear and tear takes place. We don't need to build another building. What we need to do is make sure that we are doing what God has called us to do, that we are on mission, and you're going to hear more about that in a few minutes. But that's what I wanted to share with you, because there is encouragement in that. I didn't want to be a discouragement because we are so much smaller than we had been at one point in time. I wanted to let you know that same thing is still true, that God still has a plan for this church. He still has goals for us to reach. He still has the power to work within us and through us to get us there. It's just up to us to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We know from our experience that that works. We know He doesn't abandon us. We just need to get our hearts in tune with Him. And that's part of what tonight's about. So I'm going to be quiet and with hopefully that encouragement, and I hope you've taken that in encouraging ways, because that's exactly what I see it as. Joe is going to lead us in some thoughts.
Next on your handout is our mission statement. Love God, love others, and teach others to do the same. And where this information comes from is Matthew 22:37-40. And before I read the exact verses, the Pharisees were trying to test Jesus, and they asked him the question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the Pharisees hung on these two commandments." And most of you know these next verses. It's titled The Great Commission. And these are Jesus' words. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So the questions are, what do we need to do as a church to further the mission? I know personally, I don't go out and search people out and talk to them as I'm commanded. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to pray on this subject, and then I'll finish with prayer. Father in heaven, as we try to do as we are commanded, we need your help, and we all need to work together to do as you want us to do. In Jesus' name, I pray. The next target here is, how has God gifted me to help fulfill the mission Christ gave us? You please pray about that. Father, we all have gifts that you have given us. Our abilities are all different. But as we unite and work together, they all multiply amongst us and become so much more. We ask that you give us what we need to further your word at this church of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Dave is going to speak now.
I'd just like to build on what Joe had started here. If you look at your flyer, there's several more questions on here. The one in the middle in the black is one that we've talked about before, and we just wanted to bring it up again. If failure wasn't possible and money were no object, what would we do in obedience to Christ to further the mission? And the next question below it is, what obstacles can we remove that are interfering with the mission? And then finally, what is my role as we rebuild the wall together and fulfill the mission? I'd like to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask your guidance on these questions, Lord. Please help us to free the time this week that we can pray on each of these issues, Lord, and guide us in the right direction. We thank you for everything you've blessed us with, Lord, especially your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
I want you to look at this bottom part here. What level of commitment am I willing to give to accomplish the mission? And of course, we've got a scale here, and I think I already know how everyone pretty much here is going to answer. But we've got a lot of people not present tonight. Your presence already tells me where you are. And I think it'd be appropriate for you to know where your leadership stands. So I'm going to answer last. But Joe, where do you stand on this? How do you answer this question? A two? Okay. Rick? One and a half? Where are you at, Dave? Where are you at? You're listening. Let me tell you. I think it's important for us all to ante up, including me. You know, Joe asked me, Joe always surprises me. We had an elders meeting just recently, and he asked me a question that I thought was a fair question. And I figured if Joe's wondering, he's probably not alone. And he asked me, he said, you got your oldest, he's out of the house and graduated. And Joe's always got this way of getting there. And he says, Caleb's about to graduate this year. And he didn't say it, but I'm thinking, yeah, we kind of follow the school cycle. And his question is, what's next for you guys? What's keeping you here? It's a fair question, don't you think? Would you like me to answer it? I don't have to answer it. We'll just close in prayer. The call. I was called here. The same way Abraham was called to leave his land, he went. Didn't make sense, unless you value obedience. Same reason Moses went back to Egypt. Doesn't make sense, unless your earnest desires to be obedient. I can go on through the people, the patriarchs. Didn't make sense for Nehemiah to jeopardize his position to rebuild a wall. He lived in luxury. I won't tell you what I left to come here, but I left luxury. I did. Because I desire most, more than anything else, to be obedient to the call. So, what I'm telling you is what I told the guys that night. I'm in. I'm here. And I said, I will give you my last breath. I mean that. It may be next week when I keel over, but I'll give you my last breath. So that's where I'm at. It's where me and my family are. We're here. We're not going anywhere. As long as we will be faithful, I will answer that call right here. How about you? Let's pray. Father, we all have moments where we are discouraged and, of course, encouraged. And I pray, even though we see this is a small representation of our church here, the people who attend and participate every week, may you remind us you do big things with small things. How with 12 men, you changed a world, and that we are here because of those 12 men and their faithfulness to answer the call. You've called us, you've commanded us, you've sent us, you've gifted us. May we all have the courage to be obedient. Help us with that. Bless us in our endeavor to do that. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, y'all, for coming. Please linger. We got some coffee. I think it's decaf. It's not decaf? Oh, Caleb, it's not decaf. He was worried it was decaf. So there's tea out there, of course. Cookies, eat some for me because I already had too many M&Ms and I'm sick on sugar. So thanks, y'all, for coming out. Please linger for a little while.